The public is reminded that Friday, 1st July, which marks Republic Day, is a statutory public holiday and should be observed as such throughout the country. This was contained in a statement signed by the Minister for the Interior, Prosper Bani.
Former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan has called on Ghanaians to have confidence in the country's electoral process, since that is the only way it can achieve free, fair and credible elections. He said if political rivals and their supporters do not believe the electoral process to be free and fair, that will be a catalyst for disaster and ultimately resort to less peaceful methods. Speaking at the 12th annual Kontini Akwemu Lectures on credible and peaceful elections in Accra, Mr. Annan said the street must not be allowed to take the place of the ballot box. Sally Futapri has filed this report.
Mr. Kofi Annan described Ghana's democracy as one of the finest on the continent, hence the need to protect its enviable democratic credentials. He appealed to Ghanaians, irrespective of their political persuasions, to give peace a chance. He stressed the need for stakeholders in the election to strive to avoid electoral violence that may have the tendency to destabilize the peace the nation is enjoying. Mr. Annan said politics should not be left to politicians alone because of its importance and sensitive nature, hence the need for all to play a vital role to enhance the country's peace.
Democracy depends on the lively participation of organized civil society in political life. Politics is too important to be left to politicians alone. We all have a role. By organizing such events, CDD Ghana is making a valuable contribution to our democracy, which is still comparatively young.
We must remember that elections are a mechanism for the arbitration of political rivalries and peaceful and democratic rotation of leadership. If political rivals and their supporters do not believe the electoral process to be free and fair, then they will ultimately resort to less peaceful means to change political direction. We must not let the street take the place of the ballot box. But that requires credible elections. For elections to be credible, it will have to meet three criteria: inclusiveness, transparency, accountability, to build confidence amongst the electorates and to earn the trust of the public.
Mr. Annan said the integrity of Ghana's election makes it imperative for stakeholders, especially political parties, to be given a level playing field to operate.
Today, almost every leader claims to govern by democratic principles, and governments organize periodic elections, most of which are open and fair. But there are many leaders and regimes who manipulate the system to make sure they win. In other words, rather than impose their rule through brute force, these leaders are tempted to subvert the legal and democratic framework. It is rule by law rather than rule of law. Regimes have developed a multitude of methods, some more subtle than others, to ensure that the level playing fields are limited to sports competitions only. This may work in the short run, but it is a dangerous strategy in the long run. For democracies without credible elections are no democracies at all.
Professor Mrs. Ekua Kwenye here, who chaired the function, advised Ghanaians to discourage the practice of choosing leaders and later tend to shower all sorts of insults on them when their needs are not met.
Salifu Dabri filed that report.
Government is to reconstitute the Council of the University of Education, Winneba, the 29th of this month to give guidance and oversight in the governance of the university. The university has since 2013 been operating without a council. The Minister of Education, Professor Nana Opokwajimai, stated this yesterday on the floor of Parliament when she appeared before the House to respond to a question on the composition of the council, which stood in the name of the MP for Ifutu, Alexander Afenyo-Markin. Here's an excerpt of proceedings on the floor of the House.
The date for the reconstitution of the Council for the University of Education at Winneba is 29th of June 2016.
Madam Speaker, I beg to ask the Minister of Education whether
she is aware that the previous council's tenure expired in 2013, and that under Section 8 of the Enabling Act, she has no set power to even extend the mandate of the council. And if she is aware, then what and how has the governing council been exercising its function from 2013 to date? Honourable Minister.
One of the first things we did in early 2013 was to draw a calendar of all the expiry dates of all our councils, and at the same time take into consideration that this is a time to establish the permanent council of all our colleges of education, who still have a temporary council. So we are very much aware that it was in November of 2013 that the council of the University of Education at Winneba was going to expire. At the beginning of 2013, we are aware of a number of challenges that were going on legally regarding elections and so on. The directive came from the central government that all councils whose terms were going to expire should call them, they were not extensions, that they were mandated to carry on their responsibilities until new councils were established.
Well, you see, I would like to know whether she is aware as to whether some principal officers have been appointed since 2013 after the expiration of the tenure of the previous council, as well as the award of degrees, diplomas and conferments of professorship within the same period, and which to which body authorized it.
I'd like to believe that the appointment of the person she's talking about includes even the current vice chancellor. Insofar as there is a council in place whose mandate has not been terminated, that council is expected to continue with their responsibilities to ensure that there's seamless transition in the university.
You have the Minister of Education, Professor Nana Opokwajimai, and the MP for Efutu, Alexander Sanyamake, in that exchange on the floor of Parliament, when the Minister appeared before the MPs to respond to a question on the composition of the Council for the University of Education, Winneba.
The Chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Youth, Sports and Culture, Kobla Mensah-Woyome, says the committee is putting in place a bill to mainstream activities of the youth. According to him, the bill, when passed, will establish a desk that will deal with all youth-related issues like education and unemployment. Mr. Woyome noted that the law will help in the effective relay and feedback of information. The committee is also making provisions for people with special conditions to benefit from all youth initiatives. Mr. Woyome was speaking at the launch of the Critical Review of Youth Skills Development Initiative in Accra. Eleanor Bin and Frida Tan, you have the rest of the story.
A critical review of Youth Skills Development Initiative in Ghana is a report compiled by the Foundation for Security and Development in Africa. The chairman of the Committee on Youth, Sports and Culture, Akobla Mensah-Woyome, challenged the youth to collaborate with the youth-related agencies to tackle all issues bothering them. He asked the youth to take advantage of every opportunity that comes their way.
For the law that never existed at the time of the operations of NYEP, so today that we have, we are in place, which is backed by law. It's now a living document, and it's also the need for us to monitor to see whether there are weaknesses in what we base enacting the law, so that if there is a need for some amendment as a result of some weaknesses in the course of implementation, we will all begin looking at it.
The consultant for the research, Bernard Adler, called on the government to review all skills development programs currently in operation.
Eleanor Bin and Frida Tanyu filed that report.
Workers in the informal sector, especially hairdressers and beauticians, have appealed to MMDAs to help them with solar energy facilities to sustain their businesses. This, they noted, will help mitigate the effects of the high electricity tariffs on the operations. Deputy General Secretary of the ICU, Morgan Ayawini, speaking on their behalf, said the tariff is being paid on electricity, which is an essential commodity in informal sector businesses, is too high and reduces their profits. Ms. Ayawini said MMDAs must make it a priority to introduce solar energy as an alternative source of power to support the work of hairdressers and beauticians. Zayawini was launching the annual Hair Week celebration of the Ghana Hairdressers and Beauticians Association, GABA, at Kaswa in the Central Region. Ms. Zayawini called on government to consider giving GABA tax exemptions or what he described as significant relief to enable them to break even in their businesses, since taxes are a challenging burden to them.
Government, the EU and stakeholders in the export sector have met in Accra over the Economic Partnership Agreement. African countries are divided over the signing of the agreement. Ghana is one of the countries in the sub-region that has signed the interim EPA agreement. The EU, however, says countries which fail to sign the full EPA by October 1 will lose their duty-free and quota-free access to its market. The Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration Minister, Hannah Tete, said Ghana will make a firm decision before the deadline. Meanwhile, the EU says there will be no extension of the October deadline given to countries to sign onto the EPA. EU Ambassador to Ghana, William Hanna, made this known at a meeting with ministers of foreign affairs, trade and industry and players in the exports business in Accra. He said asking for an extension is way out of line, looking at the long period the negotiation has taken.
No, it's not possible to extend the date. I mean, just make a general point that the way I see it, I mean, Ghana is not competing with the EU here. Ghana is competing with other countries around the world. And Ghana is in the league of middle-income countries. So that's the league that Ghana is in, and we want to encourage Ghana to stay there. And in that league, there are many different countries around the world who we have to treat in the same way. So that's our problem. That's the issue. We have to treat all middle-income countries. We have to give them the same treatment. So the least developed countries don't have a problem. We continue to be very favorable to least-income countries. But middle-income countries, we want to move to a relationship which is based on trade and investment and creating jobs, and rather than a relationship of the past, which is based on aid. We're moving forward. So we have to treat all countries around the world in a similar way, or else we could be criticized about the World Trade Organization. So that's the dilemma we have, and the way forward is the EPA, which I see as a win-win situation.
William Hanna is EU Ambassador to Ghana.
The World Health Organization is to begin an emergency vaccination campaign along the border between Angola and the DR Congo in an effort to prevent the spread of yellow fever. The campaign, which will get underway in the next few weeks, will also target the Congolese capital, Kinshasa, where an epidemic has been declared.
Nigeria's debt recovery agency, AMCON, has shut down the Silverbed Mall in the heart of the capital, Abuja, and Lagos. There are reports that Silverbed malls elsewhere in the country have also been closed. The company is owned by MP from the opposition PDP party.
Authorities in DR Congo have arrested 75 suspected militiamen for murder and rape in the province of South Kivu. They are accused of targeting young girls reportedly associating them with supernatural protection. Those detained include the group's alleged leader, who is a provincial deputy, Justice Minister Alexis Mbwanwi. He said Mr. Matumikas and 74 of his fighters were arrested for repeated rapes of about 30 young girls near the village of Kavumu. Mr. Ntambi said the militia that works for him recruited a fetish priest who advises the militiamen to rape young girls to be assured of having supernatural protection.
And according to a forecast by the BBC, UK has voted by 52-48% to leave the European Union after 43 years in a historic referendum. London and Scotland voted strongly to stay in union, but the Remain vote has been undermined by poor results in the north of England. And now to end the news, the main points again. President Mahama has rounded off his accounting to the people tour of Greater Accra with a plan to employ about 1,000 youth from fishing communities along the coast of Accra, another coastal sanitation module of the youth employment program. Former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan has called on Ghanaians to have confidence in the electoral process, since that is the only way it can achieve free, fair and credible elections. And 75 suspected militiamen have been arrested in DR Congo for murder and rape of young girls. The news was presented by Yvonne Atilego
and Barbara Yakubu in Accra.